I'm going to be talking with you, and you should have notes in there, talking with you this morning on changing our expectations. I've worked with a lot of different women for years. It was primarily college. We worked with college students. And in talking with a lot of different women, we hear a variety of issues. And I'm sure in my own life there's a variety of issues, and that you have those too. Discontentment, a critical spirit, depression, anxiety, anger, all of that. And in my own life, and frequently in the lives of those I get the privilege to try to come alongside and live life with, there just seems to be a real disconnect between what I expected life to be and what's reality. And over time, I'm starting to realize, certainly not everything, but many of the different presenting problems, at least that I've dealt with, have a similar root. What do I do when my life and my circumstances are not what I expect? How do I deal with those unfulfilled longings and desires? Should I make it my goal to get those met? Is that even what I'm supposed to be doing? If I really love Jesus, wouldn't I be content? Some of those things. Frequently, it shows itself in statements like, nothing's ever good enough. Whatever you do, it just wasn't enough. My friends don't understand me. My husband or my boss doesn't appreciate me. Trying to do what God says, but it's not working. Whatever I thought would happen when I did what God said, it didn't work. It doesn't seem worth it. I don't fit in. We hear this especially among women from the age of 2 up. I don't fit in. I don't belong anywhere. I deserve more. I can't keep doing this. And on and on. Let me ask you, what are typical expectations that we have for our lives? Happiness? We're going to be happy because isn't that what we're supposed to be? Our children will do well. First of all, we're going to have children. We just expect that. And they're going to fulfill me and be amazing. Yes. And I have to get married. Thank you. I think that's a good idea if you're going to have children. So let's do that. So we're going to get married. We're going to have children. They're going to be amazing. And they're going to rise up and call me blessed from the time they're 2. Good. Reasonable. I'm with you so far. Anything else? Organized house. And everyone's going to wish they were like me in the way that I handle things. Absolutely. A loving husband. The way we define loving, which changes, and they need to know that. Yes. Absolutely. We expect that. Good. You hit a lot of the same ones. If we want to work, the job that I am passionate about, I make a difference in the world every day. And I love every aspect of it. Yes. A soulmate, the newest word, not just a husband or a spouse, a soulmate. They know everything about me and just can't believe how amazing I am. And they always understand before I say a word exactly what to do. Yes, that's what we expect. So, what happens when that doesn't happen? And I would suggest to you, I think men and women both do this, we just do it a little differently. I do believe we are designed differently by God, and we are more relational. We are designed to be helpers and come alongside, and because of that, at least the women I've been around, and I will say it's true for me, tend to find my fulfillment somehow through my relationships. Maybe that's why little girls in part clamor after a best friend. You know, boys, they can have 3, not girls. They have to know which one's their favorite. They have to have the best friend. That's why they have those necklaces that they have to break apart and know that they're only one when they're together. You know, they have to go to the bathroom together. We have this whole thing about our relationships. Why are women a little more jealous even of their friendships and cliquey? I think that's part of it. We just expect that that's going to fulfill me somehow, so I have to have it. Men seem to find it more, expect to find it in their accomplishments. The right job, the meaningful career, the adoration and the respect of everybody else. That's where they think they're going to get it. So what happens when we don't have those things? We clamor. We have the noisy soul. I've got to find a way to get it. I have to have that. And I would suggest almost worse, what happens when the thing that you were convinced would fulfill you, what happens when you have it? And it doesn't. Now what? That's almost more depressing. At least when you don't have it, you're sure you just got to get it. I have the privilege right now of being an advisor at a Christian cooperative house on Purdue's campus for girls. About 32 girls live there. Yeah, drama, right? Yeah. They're in a great place right now. But I doubt there are many times when you're actually physically alone. And literally, they all sleep in one room called a cold air dorm. They're never alone. So 32 girls, never alone. And at one of their meetings, I was not there yet, it was before I came, one of the girls was telling me about this. Someone in the house expressed a concern about how unloved and lonely she felt in the house. And I don't know what made this other girl do this, but I thought it was very insightful. So they're in a house, they have to all come to the house meeting, so they're all there together. And one of the other girls looked around the room and said, "Everyone who's ever felt lonely and unloved here, would you raise your hand?" How many hands do you think went up? Every hand went up. Why do I mention that? Okay, what would be the expectation living in a house of all Christian girls? All believers in the same season of life with the camaraderie that you expect and that it promises led them to wrong expectations. They were surprised that they would still be lonely and discouraged when they still had unfulfilled longings that made them ache. There's something wrong with this house that I still feel this way. I would suggest to you that one of the problems, I know we're more complex than that, but one of them is just believing the lie that we shouldn't have unfulfilled longings. Why not? I actually then believe that Jesus came in part, and I'm not saying that we don't understand our sinfulness and his holiness, but we believe a result of knowing the Lord is I will have no more unfulfilled longings. All that's going to be met. So I ache and I'm surprised. This isn't what I thought it was. Maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I don't love God enough. What do I need to do with this? So now I'm on a path to find out what do I have to do differently to be fulfilled. Maybe I have to serve more. Whatever that is, what do I need to do? And I would suggest to you that it can lead to a lot of the things I said at the beginning. Discontentment, critical spirit, depression, anxiety, anger. Nothing is good enough. When I expect it to fulfill me, it's never good enough. I'm trying to do what God says, but it's not working. Because I've defined working maybe inaccurately. So I'm frustrated. Jesus did come, and he came into a sinful, wicked world, and he gives us the only hope we can ever have. True. But what was that hope? Was it, you'll never feel lonely again? Was that the hope? Because if so, we should expect it. Was it that I would have no unfulfilled longings? No, the hope was that I could have a relationship with the God of the universe, and one day I'll be with him where I was designed to be. And when I am with him, I am confident. I know we're not supposed to use 100% words, but I will. We will never experience loneliness then or any of the other unfulfilled longings. I was created to have a close relationship with my Maker. And there is a separation now, even for those of us who know him. I'm not with him. Think about Adam and Eve before they sinned when it says they walked with God in the cool of the garden. They physically walked with God. They were not lonely. They wouldn't have even known what the word meant. They were living the way they were designed to live, in the presence of God. That's what we were designed to do. Knowing this, I shouldn't be surprised that there's a yearning. There are unfulfilled longings. The husband is not enough. The job is not enough. The kids are not enough. The house is not enough. I'm not home yet. It's okay that it's not enough. Nancy Lee DeMoss, in her book Lies Women Believe, says that one of the lies that I should not have to live with unfulfilled longings. She goes on to say, the deepest longings of our hearts cannot be filled by any created person or thing. We know that, and then sometimes we think, so if I loved God enough, I would just be completely satisfied in him. And I would suggest to you, you were designed to be with him. You can grow in that now, but we're not going to experience that till we're with him. I've believed those lies, and I still do until I recognize I'm doing it again. But I believed those lies for years. I didn't get married till I was 28. I can remember seeing spouses bicker and thinking, if I had somebody that committed to me, I would be so content. I would never complain about petty things. Why are you laughing? You don't know. Maybe I don't. Okay, I am married to a wonderful, godly man, and I am very petty. And I'm not totally fulfilled. And that's not a reflection of him. I was surprised, though. I didn't expect that. When I was single and lonely and wanting a soulmate, I was convinced if I had a husband, all those longings would be met.